Well, I still check the CGC boards. There's a lot of people on there.
Oh, that's money. All my hustlers on YouTube are there.
No, I'm usually not looking for, like, speculation tips. It's just stuff like, hey, what did you get in your collection this week? Or I really like omnibuses, and then people are showing their collections or whatever. Like, some of that stuff is interesting. Like the old forums.
This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Welcome back, listeners. Indie Comic Book Noise, episode 497. I think we're 497. That's it. We're 497. I don't care. I'm declaring it so.
I mean, that's very American of you.
I mean, when I'm editing, maybe I'll change it. I don't know. Indie Comic Book Noise, the show you're listening to. Let's get our disclaimers out of the way. Tonight, you're in for the three regular hosts, Canada outnumbering the United States from the Arctic
Ontario
Circle.
What's that song?
Good,
it's a
things
good place
grow.
To grow. Is that what you do, Andrew?
From you just heard the voice of WRX Kev from the icebox. What's going on, Kev? How is it up there in the Arctic Circle?
Pretty arctically. Arctic-y. Mr. Freeze. Oh, wait, they can't make that reference on this podcast.
Tasty
Edit
Freeze.
That out, Andrew. Edit that out.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm not going to bother with that. And from the nation's capital in the fully fortified Otter's Den, Phil the Ottawa Otter. Say hi, Phil.
Hello. It is also cold here.
And myself, Andrew the LA Rabbit, holding down stateside.
I need to know, is it cold where you are, though?
At night,
no.
It's cold. But during the day,
cold.
It was okay. You know, it gets chilly at
night.
Did
you have to wear a coat?
I don't leave the house, Kevin. So.
That's right.
You don't need no coat.
Sorry.
Thanks for bringing up a sore subject.
I think I would know by now.
Indie Comic Book Noise, part of the Deliberate Noise Network. Lots of great shows you can check out. One we suggest is Marvel Noise, which talks about all things from the Marvel imprint of Disney Corporation. Great show. You'll hear some of our voices there as well. Super Steve's the host, but there's so many shows I couldn't list them all. You can find old copies of this show and show notes at our website, IndieComicBookNoise.com. You can also go on to Twitter, IndieComicBookN, and visit with the show, virtually speaking. I guess we should put a link tree somewhere, but that's too fancy for us.
A link tree.
And you can find our individual Twitter handles, but we don't give those out. Indie Comic Book Noise is a free-flowing discussion of whatever we want to talk about. A lot of times it's book reviews. Also, it's news. It can be related media tie-ins. What's really itching at the base of our brains. As you heard from the beginning, there is a disclaimer that represents how stridently we feel about the show. Sometimes we go crazy and say things that maybe are adult in nature. But it's not controversial. We're nice guys.
Yeah, did anything controversial happen?
I don't think so.
I don't recall.
So good. All right, boys. Thanks for dialing in as we are here. I wanted to talk about something that's a little off the beaten trail, if you don't mind. Indulging
Star Wars?
Me. Close. 80s cartoons.
Oh, no.
Happened upon Netflix, did a continuation. Kevin Smith, writer and producer of the new He-Man show.
She-Ra.
No, the He-Man one is the one I saw. It was 10 episodes, two parts, but I just watched them all. you know, over a couple of days, maybe like 4 or 5 hours. You gentlemen familiar with it?
I wrote some infamous Batman comics.
I was a big He-Man fan, but I didn't watch the show, no.
Yeah, I wasn't a big He-Man fan, but I did watch the show, ironically enough. Was more of a She-Ra fan as a kid.
I used to like that too, yeah.
It was okay. I find it's weird about these 80s cartoon properties that I love, and some of the 70s too, but like, we're talking G.I. Joe, Transformers, Thundercats, Super Friends. Like, I try and rewatch them, and I don't hate them, but they just don't hold my interest when watching
them. Yeah, that's why I didn't watch the new He-Man, because I find, yeah, they just don't. It's better just to leave them where they are in the past, you know?
Really?
And I'm like, is this because I'm too into the comics and the toy? Like, I'm already nostalgia overlining from other parts of it, like the little bits of plastic and the dumb pieces of paper. So, Kevin, you like the old cartoons.
I feel like I have a different relationship to some of the old cartoons. Like, I feel like I watched some of them, but I don't really remember them.
Remember, this is a guy that hasn't seen Goonies or Labyrinth or any of those.
I watched Goonies for Comic Speakeasy.
Well, yeah, I mean...
So when you're a kid, did you see G.I. Joe, He-Man, Transformers, She-Ra, Thunder... Do you see any of those? Mask. Or any of them? Or you just didn't watch them?
Okay, I definitely saw Thundercats. Don't remember Transformers, but I remember a couple episodes of Transformers Generation 2 being on. I know I had some stuff, some few Joes, like a mask coloring book and stuff, but I cannot verify I've ever seen those. Like, you know how people just sometimes buy you stuff? So.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not, like, it's hard for me to say. Like, if I watch some of those things, like, I only got, like, really into some of those things, like, later on in their later incarnations, like Beasties, or Beast Wars for you Americans.
No, it was Beast Wars for us, too. I never heard of Beasties.
Beasties.
When I watched it, it was Beast Wars.
You must have been watching the American version.
No, I don't think so. Wasn't it YTV?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Beast Wars.
I don't know. They added the wars.
Americans.
I don't know. I find it weird. It's sort of like the Philosopher's Stone and the Sorcerer's Stone. It's like, oh, Americans don't understand the word philosopher, so they changed to the Sorcerer's Stone.
Wasn't Beasties that old toy where there were like animals with different like weapon arms, and if you rubbed their stomach, they had a little symbol that showed like wood or fire?
Oh, yeah, those were fun.
No, that was Battle Beasts.
Oh, those were Battle Beasts.
I had a bunch of those little guys.
Yeah, I
used to put Play-Doh to those to make them have different arms and crazy spiked armor and everything.
Yeah, like the toys I still enjoy looking at and futzing with, but I don't know, and like I said, I don't hate them. I just, when they're on all these streaming services, I remember dialing up Thundercats. I'm like, oh, I really like that show. And I watched
I never rewatched. I was kind of scared to rewatch that one. But I remember rewatching Transformers, I don't know, what was it, 10 years ago or something? And I was surprised at how good it was.
Oh, good.
Maybe because everyone says those cartoons are so bad. And then I said, wow, there's a story here. And like, wow, this happens. And then there's consequences. I was just, I don't know, maybe I was expecting like some Hanna-Barbera where only the feet move or something. I don't know. People had set up that show like, so incorrectly for me. So when I watched, like, G.I. Joe is more the speed of what people talk about those shows being like. But I feel like Transformers was like a level above all those things.
I feel like G.I. Joe is still a level above the early ones, at least. Some of those Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ones that are just gags. Like, those aren't.
Yeah. Like, but compared to like when people talk about a stereotypical 80s show, I feel like G.I. Joe fits more soundly into that box than Transformers does.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like I said, I don't hate that. I remember I watched the Transformers movie again. Same kind of thing. It just was like, oh, it's all right. Like, it just, it's not interest. I don't know. I wonder if I've just seen all that stuff too much, or it's, like I said, the comics or the other elements of the nostalgia.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like I'm doing the Star Wars thing sometimes, where I'm, like, viewing things from the outside, so sometimes things are better, sometimes things are worse, or you're just like, I don't understand this.
Yeah, maybe they're fresher, because I've watched some of the Transformers had some reboots on Netflix. I don't know if it was a Netflix show or one they imported from somewhere, but they're all on Cybertron and the Autobots are trying to escape type of thing.
Yeah, well, they had Beast Machines, and then they had that, like, Transformers animated show from, what, 2001 or something?
No, this was they're all on Cybertron as regular. Oh. No Earth in this one, and it was fine. Like, again, I don't know, And so same with the He-Man thing. And I was like, well, maybe because I didn't watch the He-Man cartoon.
I know this show will work better. I've seen some He-Man, but it was probably during the 90s. And then I definitely saw the reboot from, what was that, early 2000s again?
Yeah, 2001 three? Or 4, 3, 4, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, that was fine.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have any problems with it. I mean, it's not great, but, you know, it's all right.
I guess my thing is, it doesn't, I don't bother to keep watching it, I guess, which is what I would say. Like, it doesn't, because I remember they rebooted Thundercats, too, and it looked good, and it was, I was just like, you know, I don't know, it doesn't, I'm not as into it anymore. Because that was maybe 15 years ago, around the same time.
Yeah.
Maybe
that one, I feel like people were like, this is so good, and I was watching it, and I continued watching it, but it was kind of like I was trying to figure out why people said it was so good. Yeah. It's sort of like reading Saga. I would continue, if I was continue reading that, trying to figure out why this comic is so good. It's one of those weird situations where, like, obviously you're just not into it, right?
Yeah, but there's things that I can say. Like, I didn't have a criticism of it. It just refused to hook me. And, like, I haven't watched the Voltron reboot. Or the She-Ra, or any of the other, because I'm like, you know what, I just don't think those properties, I guess, don't, what I like about them is some weird version in my head, and maybe watching the reboot isn't, and I obviously I don't think I should be the target audience either, like, they should be trying to get kids to watch it, right? Like, I don't think they want the older people to be the ones driving it. On that, but the He-Man was a little neither fish nor fowl. It was a little bit edgier, but not enough. Like, a little bit of blood and a few characters die, and it hints at the existence of sex. But it's not really graphic or anything, but it was so, like, preachy. Like, lots of monologues. And I was just like, who is this for? Like, it's not that much like the old show. But it's not super edgy or anything, and it's not very subtle. Like, the characters go on these long, long monologues that just beat you over the head with the point. And I'm like, I don't quite know who the target was for that.
I don't know. I guess it's funny. Before I watched, like, the first part of that He-Man. I just remember all the YouTube recommendations and all the people getting upset. What did they do to He-Man and everything? And then you watch it and you're like, this is fine.
Yeah. But you didn't feel at times like the characters would give these long, belabored speeches about stuff. And I'm like, you could have just said, like, oh, XYZ. Or, like, you didn't need to give this monologuing explanation that the power was inside you all along. Like, we've all seen these. There was no shocking message or subtle or complicated. It was really straightforward with, like I said, a little bit of blood, a little bit of, oh, you know, Skeletor and Evil-Lyn have had sex before, like. But it wasn't anything
graphic. I expected something really outrageous from Kevin Smith, and instead I got, like, some Bendis dialogue, and I was like, that's all right.
Yeah. Like I said, not hating it, but it left me wondering, like, who is all fired up and like, oh my God, this is just the take I wanted. I wanted it to be slightly edgy with no real point to it. And,
well,
I don't know.
It's funny because they did the other He-Man series too. So if that one's skewed younger, you can have this one be skewed older and like get all demographics and just keep on churning out like another He-Man series for another group of people.
Hopefully. I mean, I wish them good luck with it. It just isn't my thing. So Phil,
like maybe they're going to do one and it'll be like old man He-Man and then those people will be like, yeah, finally one for me.
No, I don't think. I think some of the crowd wanted it to be like it was more than anything, and it's not edgy enough to be edgy, so...
Neither I don't fish know. Nor I foul. I guess they went farther than I thought they were going to go, but they weren't truly outrageous.
No. I mean, the dumb Fisto joke, which you could see from a mile away, that one felt weird, and...
I just
sighed. I was just like, oh, really? This is... like the obvious dumb joke. I felt a little bit like we could have danced around that and had more fun. Like you think it's gonna come and he never gets around to that joke. You know what I mean? Something a little subtler with more fun than that. But I guess they wanted people to. I don't know. Yeah, it was the lack of subtlety, I guess. Because when I think you're pitching for an older audience, I expect not bad language and blood, but sophisticated ideas and complicated plots and complex motivations more than I expect.
That's fake maturity.
Blood and violence.
Real maturity is blood and violence and swearing.
Yeah. So, Phil, what cartoons did you watch in your youth?
He-Man, Thundercats, Ghostbusters, all that stuff.
Oh, Ghostbusters.
Quite a lot.
Oh, that's something they could bring back, I wonder.
But what about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I watched the recent ones.
Of course,
ones.
Teenagers.
No one's... Skeleton Warriors? Dino Riders?
No, I think you're a little... we're crossing...
I'm skewing way younger now.
Yeah. I think you are. I mean, I do...
Muppet Babies?
I remember that one. Okay. I remember Muppet Babies.
Pirates of Dark Water?
Only knew that as an adult from YouTube. Because that seemed interesting when I heard about that product. But as a young... When it was on the air, no. I did not hear of that one. Probably, like I said, Mask might have been the last... new one. I do remember Centurions.
What?
A lot of these are just toy tie-ins.
Just like when they do the Hasbro stuff, like Visionaries, I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about.
I remember those toys. I never had them, but I remember the commercials for them. Yeah, a lot of these things, I mean, they were their own pieces of artwork, but they were also in service of selling merch. So that part remains with me in a way that is... key. But yeah, just like Ghostbusters, I remember liking that one, Phil, but I don't want to go back and watch it because I'm worried that if I watch it, it won't hold up.
Reboot was pretty good. I mean, to see Dan DiDio do some stuff.
I mean, if you're pushing the clock a little bit, I do sometimes watch some of the Batman one, but I think that does hold up and that's still pretty good. And that's also a good... You know, that's in the 90s and originally was going to be prime time and felt like there was more resources behind that.
I feel like that's gotten better with age. And then some of the episodes, they like have these Japanese studios that obviously spent too much time on certain things.
Well, as you guys know, I didn't watch it at the time, but I've gone back on YouTube to watch like Savage Dragon and...
Oh,
all the image Wild stuff. Cats. Those were those are not for me. I gotta say, guys.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. Yeah, I guess. Like, who is the audience? I guess kids, because they're selling lots of action figures and everything.
Oh yeah, yeah, and also it's really toned down. Like the violence is very safe and everything.
I mean, come on. The Savage Dragon's not meeting God and everything.
Yeah. He's not having graphic sex in the cartoon. That would be a funny cartoon. But yeah, I was like, it's weird. For all my nostalgia, there are some things I don't go back for, and it seems like cartoons don't quite, and like I said, I don't hate them, or just, they just, as I'm watching it, I don't know, I feel like, yeah, I'll watch something else.
I know you love the Spider-Woman cartoon and the Super Friends. I know you do.
Super Friends, I thought I would be more into. The Spider-Woman one I did love. I wonder if part of Amazing it was Friends one too. Season. Amazing Friends, I gotta say, it didn't quite hold me the same way it would. Well, I'll give you another example. I bought, this is in the old days, on DVD, the 60s Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought I would watch more of that than I did, and I didn't.
Oh, man.
And I love, when I was a kid, I loved that show. Oh, my God. That
you,
was my
you
favorite
loved
show.
Black, you loved that black blob going over the mailbox, and then uncovering the mailbox, and then covering the mailbox again?
Oh, they use the same, like, backgrounds all the time. Ugh. In fact, that show is why I'm a little bit frosty about Rocket Robin Hood. Because the channel I watched it on would alternate. And even though Rocket Robin Hood is a great show, I would get mad because it meant no Spider-Man. So, even though they reused stuff from Rocket Robin Hood and Spider-Man. Or maybe Vice. I don't know which one was first. I don't want to get a bunch of angry ire from Rocket Robin Hood fans. Which is a great show.
I feel that's that cartoon's a special case, though, that Spider-Man cartoon. Because, like, I'll watch it, but I'm not watching it as... Like, it's not a critical, I'm not going to write some think piece about that.
Also, great music. I mean, like, really draw, that might have my favorite soundtrack of any cartoon. Like, that thing is pumping, and it's good. Although, I believe I have the Rocket Robin Hood theme song memorized, even though I haven't watched that in decades, but... Yeah, good time for sound. Yeah, but I've tried because HBO Max down here has the Super Friends. And I watched some of that, but I think I got to watch the later seasons. The earlier ones just feel, like you say, you need to have something else going on. But to sit down and watch that without your phone, without, you know, no distractions, it doesn't sell.
So you didn't watch the Fox Box?
What was on?
They had One Piece. Like, that must have been pretty early in One Piece's history. They had One Piece.
For me, the Japanese imports were all scrambled by domestic companies. So it's things like Battle of the Planets and Robotech, which aren't, you know, they take the show over there and they recut them and edit it, mix them up. You know, it wasn't like we were getting... The raw, unfiltered thing. I mean, I really love... I love Battle of the Planets as a kid. That show was awesome. I love Robotech.
That's good.
Those were all really... And again, I don't really want to rewatch them because I'm like, maybe they're not that good.
So this is another situation, Andrew, where I only watched Robotech for the first time on Netflix. And I'm like, wow, this is actually pretty good.
Oh, was it the classic one or like a reboot or something?
Yeah, yeah. It was the first one.
Oh, neat.
Before they, like, combined other stuff again.
Yeah, yeah. As a kid, I loved that stuff. I think I was maybe 13 or something. I don't know how old. I wasn't... Maybe I was too old to be watching it. Or I might have been 14 or 15. But yeah. I just remember catching it and being like, whoa, it, like, has continuity. Because that was before
that's the thing.
Spider-Man and X-Men and stuff where they were doing stories that had some... That had strict content, like... You had to watch what happened before, like when people died.
Yeah, it reminds me of manga for sure.
Yeah, the cartoons of my youth. Anyways, I just wanted to say, yeah, these reboots, I don't know. It was a couple hours, pat on the TV while I'm playing games on my phone or whatever. So
the reason why you brought it up, I thought, was because IDW is losing Transformers and G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. License to lose for them. Because they're keeping, what I saw, they're still keeping like My Little Pony. Like, it's not like all of Hasbro is leaving.
I know, they're keeping, I guess, the Visionaries, ROM. Weird.
And I'm like, that's a weird, like, why split? Because originally it seemed like they had that My Little Pony Transformers crossover and stuff. And I'm like, are they giving up on the Hasbro verse?
I guess so, because they're splitting the verse.
So you think this is because Kirkman has it lined up and they just can't announce it, that he's going to take
it
over?
Like, they don't say, but who else would, like, they're going to say, oh, well, I find it funny because you're like, who buys those G.I. Joe comics, right?
They're not, I mean, I have a hard time. Most stores don't rack them. Like, if you put it on a pull list or something, but when I go and I miss an issue and I got to go find it, it's not easy to find those things.
Yeah. But the thing is, they can probably get the 300 before the license is up, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
And now, then you got to consider that no one bought those, but they ran for another 150 issues. Like, that blows tons of comics out of the water.
Oh, and I think it has, like, that dedicated fan base. Plus, I mean, it's not Greg Capullo doing the artwork on it or anything. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... I enjoy the artwork fine, but Larry Hama is writing it. But don't forget, they also do tons of other G.I. Joe series. That's the one I'm following. But they have a ton. I wonder also if, because the movie did so badly, it was easier to give up the license.
Maybe. Never considered that. But it's weird. Like, you're not going to have... Like, you're going to continue with 301? Probably not at the new publisher. But I don't think it's as big of a deal to do a new G.I. Joe series.
No, they do them all the time. The Snake Eyes that Rob Liefeld worked on was not part of that.
But to do a new Transformers series, I feel like IDW kind of redefined, like, Transformers and everything, and people love that stuff. Like, to do that, now that's going to be more of a challenge.
I feel like I thought it was the same thing. They had a bunch of series and reboots and tie-ins, and I thought it was more of a similar... Well, you're right, they do have a lot of classic stuff. I'm also like, they were in the middle of doing a lot of collections, like the high-end, I don't remember what they called, the complete version.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are they just going to rush those out? Like, are they going to kill it? Or it just seems like it's... I think if they had known, they wouldn't have... Because I think the last one was 7 or 8. Like, they got to do another 10 of them or something. Like, they ain't got time. Like, the clock is ticking.
They've been doing those... I guess maybe they got inspired by the Turtles. Remember they did the best of, like, Casey Jones, best of Raphael. Well, now they've expanded it to, like, Transformers and everything. Like, the best of Optimus Prime. So I guess they're not going to be doing those type of things anymore either.
Because there's going to be a bunch of angry collectors that have, like, the first, you know, 8 volumes of this. Because it was really nice. The complete, it was collecting, I assume it was going to get to the IDW, but all the Marvel. So that meant special missions and the regular book and the annuals and extra material. It was oversized and a big hardcover. Like I said, I think they're on 8 or 9 or something. But they got a ways to, you know, 100 and... Because what, were there 150 issues of the main series, plus however many special missions, plus all the, you know, like, that's a lot of hardcovers.
Well, I wonder if they can't publish any new stuff, but they can finish collecting their own stuff, or the new, like, publisher will be like, no, we want to recollect this all over again, like...
It seemed to always go, I mean, the Star Wars license always went to... Because I have a bunch of Dark Horse trades that collect a bunch of Marvel comics in them. And...
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, just a weird... So that's our news and segment section. Do you guys
Good
want
night,
me to...
everybody. That's the episode.
Do you want me to throw out a book? Or Kevin, you want to go? Or I don't want to...
I have 2 books. Okay. I was going to have 6 books. Can you believe it?
No. Well, yes, I can.
Yeah, I can't believe it either. Because obviously I never got around to it.
Give me your first book.
I have one from Dark Horse Comics. Let's see if you can guess this. From a new up and comer at Dark Horse. He recently moved over there. Joy Operations. Do you know what this is?
No.
He goes by the name Brian Michael Bendis.
Oh, nice. So is it, a continuation of one of his existing titles?
No. So he brought over, I think...
Powers, I think. Isn't Powers going there?
Everything's going there.
Yeah, so...
Because he wanted to be there originally. But I told you that before, and you were just like, no, he's just saying that for the press release. He always wanted to be there. But anyways, I think Stephen Byrne, who is on the art, was one of his artists on one of the DC books, and he brought them over to do this limited series.
Nice.
Or maybe series of limited series.
Well, is this just the first issue?
Yeah, I just have the first issue. I know more than the first issue is out by this point.
And any additional inkers or people, or just Stephen Byrne? And
well, if you want to know the lettering, Andrew, Joshua Reed.
And I should start putting the letters in the show notes. I don't always. I need to get better about that. I'm just lazy, Kevin.
there's another cover by David Mack, of course, right?
Well, that I don't need to put in.
I don't.
If I start putting variant cover artists, Image will kill me. So,
I mean, you'll die on the Dynamite thing. You'll stop doing the show notes forever.
Yeah, some of these books have a lot of variant covers. But anyway, so what's the setup of this thing?
It's a weird sci-fi world. Like when you see that first page, and then you turn the page, and you have like the double page, like. I would say that's pretty Bendis-y for him to give you a double page thing, but I think this is totally legitimate. It's like a sci-fi world that has there's your regular plane, and then there's like some kind of weird building with like a circular globe on it. I guess sort of like the 60s Spider-Man cartoon. You know, they have that nuclear power plant type of weird globish thing. And then you start seeing like a few boxes or whatever, cubes floating in the sky. And then it's like the reverse on the ceiling, like buildings are coming downward. In a weird way, it reminded me of inside of a computer, like sort of how all the chips are arranged and stuff is sort of hanging all over each other, you know, everywhere. All you have all your different doodads in there, your hard drives, your whatever you want, your computer chips, your graphic cards.
Wait, I thought there was a mouse inside my computer.
Of course there is. That's why you need half of that space, because he has to have his bedroom and a place to work out and to eat and everything. You know. Anyhow, this is, I would say this character is older, because they do this weird... Maybe it doesn't seem as weird at the beginning. Like, there's this sort of, like, voiceover. Like, you think, oh, they're just using sort of captions to capture the thoughts of the character. But, like, because it's pretty... Not mundane, but... I mean, it doesn't really stick out. It seems very much natural. And I think it starts... changing or hinting partway through that something is amiss. So it's not actually thoughts. Like, you think it's a person's thoughts, but it's actually, like, I guess he's doing something a little different here. I mean, it adds a lot of extra dialogue and stuff to the book, because you have the character, like, they're doing their thing, they're doing their talking, and you think you're getting their thoughts, but it's actually someone else in their body.
Wow, extra dialogue in a Bendis book, you say?
But it doesn't. But the funny thing is, you know, people say, "Oh, some of those books read in 2 minutes or whatever." This isn't a 2-minute read.
Oh, good.
Because you do get some actiony segments where, I mean, things speed up. But then you get like later on when you get to the more thought person reveal. It starts, like, really amping up the amount of balloons, amount of thoughts and quotes. And then a whole, like, double-page spread, which is, like, massive like, I guess, download of what's going on, what the main character needs to do, what the setup is, like a lot of world building stuff. So I was actually surprised at the amount of words in this book. I mean, someone saying, I'd say it's a lot of words normally, but I feel like some of his stuff, like, read fast, even though there's a lot of words sometimes.
You're not referring to
this, have that feeling.
To your favorite sequence of his with zooming in on the planet, are you, Kevin?
There was no zooming, no classic zooming in on the planet.
Good. I know, as much as you love that, you'd hate to see it repeated.
Oh. That is like one of my classic go-to things of
So you felt like
Do I need to explain that to the listeners?
Yeah, go ahead and give it to them.
Planet?
Give them the explanation. Why not? Take us there.
I mean, there wasn't a new Avengers issue where it's literally like multiple pages of zooming in on a planet and then some dude like sort of wandering around and there's not a whole lot of words or dialogue. So you're just flipping the page like it's a manga, basically. But it's not, because you only have 22 pages, so that's the issue.
Well, nowadays, it's not even 22 pages anymore, but...
No, yeah. But I mean, in the 70s, it was like, what, 17 pages?
Different times for different page counts, Kev.
This is true.
But you like... So you like this one?
Yeah, I don't think it was particularly super Bendis-y in one way. I mean, there is, like, the character is swearing and everything, and you know, Bendis likes to put a lot of swearing into some of his books. Maybe most of his mature books, I would probably say. I don't know if there must be one where...
It's just...
But anyways, it didn't annoy me or anything. Like, there wasn't something that real stuck out where I'm just like, oh, why am I reading this? It was more like, I'm like, wow, that's a lot of words. Wow, he's giving a lot of stuff away. And from what I understand, there's supposed to be like a reveal moment like in every issue. So
nice. Did you like the reveal in this one? You don't have to say what it is, but how did it strike you?
I already said what it was.
Oh. How did you like it? How did it strike you?
Yeah, like it works and everything. I mean, it's weird, but like there's all that weird sci-fi stuff in here because the main character is sort of like, I guess, an envoy, but like E-N period voy. So it's, you know, they've cut up words or they'll be talking and there'll be something like, oh, I don't know, like oh, the Googleplex, or you know how in those sci-fi things they're talking about something, you're just like, I don't know. Like, you don't understand what they're saying because it's some future tech speak thing. So yeah. So I guess they're the envoy. Like, there's like they sort of watch over certain people, and then there's like sort of like, what do you call this thing? It's not like a virus. I mean, it's almost like a COVID ball, except it's, instead of spiky, it's sort of like bumpy. Like it's almost like bubbles and warts are coming to the surface. And there's like a giant eyeball inside of it. So there's some kind of like other stuff going on. And then there's like other like forces within the city. And then you find out that like there's all these different groups. What does it say? Are they guilds or whatever? Or trusts? No, I think they're trusts. That's the word they use. There's different trusts. And of course, one person's like trying to rule the world type of thing and, like, install a new, more risky system. But the funny thing is, you like, oh, yeah, this character's going to be, like, the voice in their head's telling them to do things. They'll be like, oh, yeah, they'll just go and do this stuff, whatever, right? But they're like, no, nah. It seems like they're in disbelief and they just want to be arrested. And you're like, well, that's going to hamper the plot if they don't go along with things. But I think it keeps on escalating from there.
Good. And you're on, I assume, with four issues or whatever, you're already on the hook for buying all four?
I actually only bought the first issue of this.
Whoa.
It was one of my online purchase things where I'm like, I might as well grab a few things. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll see something exciting with Bendis doing some kind of sci-fi stuff at Dark Horse. You know, give it a go.
So are you out for 2, 3, and 4?
If I see them, I would probably pick them up.
What, I believe last time you were like, it was all right, or whatever your lukewarm endorsements. I've read better books or worse.
I'm not going to, this one isn't going to be, I'm not going to mention this one on this episode, but, like, I was totally out, remember, on Lemire and Sorrentino. And then in my journeys, like the first issue was half off. So I'm like, I'm a gambler, I guess. Like, people really like this Lemire cat, right?
You were one of them at some point.
I feel like I want to do a graph and chart, like, creators' histories according to how much I've liked their works. And I would say Lemire is one that's going to oscillate wildly between I really don't care and, oh, this is a good book, and I don't care again. So I was like, I don't think I would have really picked the Primordial. I don't think
primordial.
I really would have. It is?
That's how I pronounce
primordial?
It. I haven't seen the book. I just thought it was the word Primordial.
It probably is. But I was like half off. So I'm like, I might as well. I mean, I know people are like, oh, he's like the best writer of the last year and all that stuff. And I'm like, I guess I'll try a first issue, you know? Give it a go.
Look at you, willing to spend up to $2 to see.
I know, that's the thing, right? It's like those Force Works issues for like 20 cents. And you're like, why am I buying this? I don't know, it's 20 cents. So, I mean, you'll probably say something like, oh, you're going to flip it later when it becomes a movie because you bought it for half off and you didn't care about it while reading it, and now you have it, and I guess.
Hey, everyone had their opportunity to buy those half-off issues, Kevin.
This is true.
Well, I'm going in the Wayback Machine, if you gentlemen will indulge me.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys feel about, like, dinosaurs and prehistoric creatures?
Love them.
Me too.
How do you feel about post-apocalyptic worlds?
This sounds great. If you're going to say there's Cadillacs too, we're on a great path.
Kevin, you nosing around and figuring out. I'm looking at Flesk Publications oversized softcover Xenozoic by Mark Shaw.
Oh, that was so great. But it doesn't end.
This is collecting from the 80s in an oversized format. His tales set in the future. So, for those not aware, we have a post-apocalyptic world where the United States is now split up into, you know, little different tribes as lizards and other, you know, giant pterodactyls and all that. I don't know. I was never one of those kids that was into dinosaurs, so what? Memorized all the names or anything. I mean, I like dinosaurs, but you know them kids that can tell you all their genus and species and everything?
Okay, if we're going to get into, like baseball stats, then yeah, I wasn't into that either. I mean, I guess you can make an argument that we're all into that now because we were reading comics for so long, so, but, you know.
So, these are the black and white tales collected. Mark Schultz, probably needs no introduction as a classic artist. What I like about it is it, and in the introduction it state he wears his influences on his sleeve, so to speak. Very like big newspaper adventure strip is the energy I get from it. Like, these are generally short, you know, 6 to 9 page tales, so they don't have the format of like repeating everything like those newspaper strips tend to do. But yeah, that feeling of, like, big panels, the facial expressions, like, all the characters are super well-designed and very distinct and have expressive faces. And our hero, as Kevin hinted at, really likes Cadillacs. His job is kind of is a guide to the interior, and that's where the really dangerous creatures live. And this starts with Hannah is a diplomat from another tribe, and they're in negotiations, and they have a real strong will they, won't they kind of vibe where they're flirting with each other and, you know, is the romance going to happen? But I just like, kind of also I would put like Rocketeer, like adventure strip, like fantastic yeah. things happen, but it's not, you might have mysterious things happen, but it's not like superheroes. But the newspaper strip is the closest one. Lots of great shadows and the monsters are always like straight up. I mean, like I said, I'm not a dinosaur expert, so maybe the anatomy is wrong, but they look like real creatures.
Well, there's some mystery about when it takes place. So like new things could have.
Yeah.
Like if something looks off, like you can always just attribute it to, hey, there's a new species.
Yeah. Well, they say it's the 30th century. So,
yeah,
you know, it's been time. And so, like Thundar the Barbarian or whatever, you know, like old-timey humans screwed up the world. And so they're moving on with this. And Flesk does these great collections. I know Steve talks to the publisher a lot, and I see him at shows. And so I have a little signed card in here in mine. I must have gotten this thing. This thing's, like, almost 10 years old, so third printing of it.
Yeah, I think I got it when it originally came out. It was, I think it was sort of one of those like legendary things, and then it was like they published that collection, and then it was like one of my favorite collections the year it came out.
Yeah, I'm just not going to the comic store, boy. So it's Kickstarters and stuff off the shelves and long deep dives, but it's fun. A little bit. My only knock, I would say, is because of that old formula, like, you know, there's going to be the geeky guy with the glasses who's a little Weasley dude and, you know, the big fat sleazy guy and some of those tropes that are not breaking new ground. So if you're here for that, like, some story that's never been told before, you're not going to get it here. But if you want just cracking adventures of a... you know, your Harrison Ford, John Carter character fighting big monsters and creepy dudes. This is the book for you. And it's nice in these story segments because it pays out enough of the world and in a slow way. I would imagine you get a Western vibe too, you know, because it's a frontier land that they go to with all kinds of dangers and he's navigating it as the tracker.
Guess so, but if someone used that as their selling point, I would have like started losing interest. It's like if they would have said, well, it's a Western coming of age story, and I would have been like, I'm out.
Yeah, well, there's no coming of age really, but there is the will they, won't they tension between the two leads, and she's kind of, they're both smart, but she always has some clever way out of figuring out traps and everything, but there's an impetuousness there. That's the romance part that drives the story.
But yeah, it's, I think Cadillacs and Dinosaurs is a way better way to sell it.
But it's the artwork for me. There's a cartoon. I don't think I ever saw that when it was on there.
Weird that they made a cartoon out of that.
But one of those ones, like I said, Mark Schultz kind of reminds me of Dave Stevens, like this classic adventure strip with perfect art.
Yes.
But I don't think anyone's rebooting these, unlike Rocketeer, which seems to be getting rebooted every decade or so.
Yeah, like, they're giving it... I remember there was that one I pre-ordered where, I was off Rocketeer for a few of them, and then they had a real good creative team, and then they canceled it. And I was like, ah. But, yeah, apparently they're giving it a go again. But, yeah.
And for me, it's so weird because I'm not... Like, the character is, like, the least part of that. I really like Dave Stevens and his... You know, that was much more of a drive than, like, guy with the rocket pack, you know...
Yeah, but when you started having, like, it's Mark Waid and Chris Somni, like, how are you going to fault them?
Well, then you're looking at great creators doing something that I would read and have read their other collaborations. But it just, for me, the Rocketeer itself is not a selling, like, it's entirely dependent on the creators. You know what I mean? Like, some characters I'd be willing to try just because it's an interesting world or an interesting setup or whatever. I'm less interested, but that's one that's entirely dependent on, well, who's drawing the thing? Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's. I would say, what do you think? Like, it's 80% of the story is in there. Like, the story never finished.
Yeah, I would. It feels like it's all, and that's, I guess, part of the newspaper feel to it. Is it's just these kind of adventures that happen, that start and stop, and they're kind of short, and that's what led to that feel. Because those things often don't end either. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They just
roll on, and then the end of the strip happens. So. And usually they don't get to wrap it up. It just gets canceled by the syndicate.
And I don't know if you knew this. You're pretty knowledgeable, Andrew. They came out with issues, and there's actually extra stories that aren't collected in there, but they're not. But they're by different people, so that's why they weren't collected, I guess. Like, maybe they were, like, back then collected in a separate collection, but I'm like, I'm not aware of it. But I have one of the issues because I just ran across it one day, and I was like, oh.
Well, that's what I thought was interesting, is the 80s was such a weird time. Like, I was buying comics, but these never came across my plate, because distribution was like, whatever your store, you know. I mean, there were trade publications and stuff, but I didn't buy fanzines. Like, all my money went to comics. Like, if I bought all that other stuff, magazines and fans, like, that would be less money for comics. So,
yeah,
a lot of stuff I just didn't know. Like, if my comic store didn't have it, I wouldn't know it existed. There was no internet. Yeah,
I feel like something like a Cadillacs and Dinosaurs would have penetrated the newsstand.
Oh, I was not.
I know Image was there.
By that time, I was never looking at the newsstand.
Oh, okay.
I bought all my comics at the comic store. That was my jam, going to the comic store. I mean, I had some subscriptions or mail order or whatever, but there was something about that magic of seeing, and you know, even to this day, I really like looking at an issue, looking at the cover and seeing what it's about and just kind of buying it. That impulsiveness is what I liked about comics. Unlike you previews types.
Right. Because I totally pre-ordered Joy Operations and Primordial.
You guys who have to know who's involved and what the comic's about. But it's handy to know you guys, because how often am I like, hey, wait, Kevin, has this thing come out yet? Or...
I mean, you live in the land of all these glorious comic stores, so, I mean, that's great.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how many are still standing. It's a hard business, I feel like.
Always been. Right. And it's always dead, right? It's always 1 minute away from, hey, someone thinks the industry is always going to be, is always dying or is dead.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, you got one last book to send us out on? Do you want to save it? This is our last roundup call.
And it has one of those barcodes, those skinny barcodes on the back. It also says it's the Friendship Edition of Iron Friendship. This has some of the creators from some of the other things I either covered or I've covered in the past. I'll have you look it up, because I'm not going to spew out like 25 names.
Well, at least give me the publisher or something more than
that. That's a good question.
So all I have is the title, Iron Friendship.
Okay, Friendship Edition presents Iron Friendship. I don't know if Friendship Edition is... I really don't know.
All right, really folks, the gauntlet's been thrown down to see if I can find this comic.
I mean, it might be... Like, I know that...
So it's an anthology, I'm taking.
Yeah. Yeah, and it worked out better than the last anthology on the previous episode. But I think there was a Friendship Edition of that other book I covered on here. So it might actually be from Silver Sprocket, but I thought they would say Silver Sprocket on here. I mean, maybe it's just a Friendship Edition because of the creators involved. So that's not really a publisher name. I don't know. Who knows?
All right.
When you start getting into the weeds of the indie stuff, like...
Yeah. How many stories we got? Or are there some you want to focus on? Or what are we looking at? Is there a theme or friendship, I take it?
Maybe. I don't know. It's just like eight stories. And I would say they're they're stories. Unlike the other one, I think this is stories. Like, it's not a pinup book.
Good.
Like, if I was gonna say the most bothersome thing about an anthology is when you get the like designy pinup pages instead of I'm like, maybe it's this outstanding image, right? Like someone spent like 1,000 hours and they noodled the heck out of this thing. But it usually it's not the case, and then you're just like, what was that thing in here for? I mean, like, maybe someone enjoys that, right? Like someone enjoys that picture box book where there's like some scribbles on a page, and someone's just like, this is genius, like that whole Comics Journal or Fantagraphics crowd that that'll never appeal to me, right? So, like, more power to them. I'm glad they enjoy that stuff.
Yeah. All right, so what's in this then? If that's what it's not.
I would say it's mostly like faded colors. Like, it has a very specific color palette. Like, it's more of like pinks and reds and blues, and some of it gets like, I don't really know how they've done all this. Like, I kind of wonder if it's all digital. Like, it sort of has those like tiny 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 little dots to make some of the color on some of these stories. I mean, it might even be, do you remember some of the different techniques I went into before? Like, you know, some people were silk screening their stuff or whatever crazy, like, modern methods. Like, I don't know if they're using some kind of different things like that, but some of it's, yeah, like the tiniest of dots. So you can see, like, the space in between the colors, but the color is still there. So, yeah, so I'm not, like, it's almost like parental advice for some of this stuff, because it's not exactly self-explanatory. Like, someone's getting tested for stuff, and they're, like, in a hospital bed, and there's all these different things going on, and then by the end of the story, they're like, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. And they're like, some people just go on living their life in pain, and then, like, they find a key. And then they put, like, a key inside their body. They turn it around, and then they just fall over. And I'm like, have they committed suicide? So potential deep topics, I guess. Mature themes. Like, I guess it's open to interpretation. Or then, like, weird things creeping out of a TV screen. Oddly enough, reminds me of a Star Trek Voyager episode. Don't ask me why. But there's this bit later on in that TV series where, like, people are always into old stuff, right? If you're in, like, the year 3000 or whatever, they're always into, like, oh, the 1940s TV. Like, they're not gonna have something from, like, 1995. I guess it's the golden age of TV, right?
Not for me, but.
It just seems there's an inordinate amount of time spent on going back to the past. Yes. And if your show's in the 60s, you go back to the 60s. But if your show is like later on, like you're not going to certain eras, or you always end up in Nazi Germany or something. Like, there's just certain things all the time. It's always the certain eras.
Hey, they got all the outfits and stuff. Easy to
shoot. Apparently, right? Like, that's what's on the lot. So, yeah, I enjoyed this one a lot more. There's a lot more different styles and different noodling. And different, like, this one story in here, like, it was talking about a new species. Like, someone sort of has, like, mushrooms growing off of their face. And they're like, kind of like looking it up online, I guess you could say. And they're like, yeah, I guess it's all right, but it kind of blocks part of my vision. It's almost like they have shingles, like, on their face. and then like mushrooms are like growing out of the shingles. But the way they introduce this concept is almost like they're showing you a cell and like all these veins coming out of it, and then like they have text, you can't read it all, and it's kind of jumbled up, but it's like going in a circle, and slowly you see more of it, and it's like roping all the way around the panel of this one page. And then they keep on playing with text and like that type of thing throughout the whole thing, where it like the whole image just becomes like either part of the text, or that the text is somehow incorporating itself right into the artwork.
What?
Or like good. Veins or like roots are extending off of the letters. Like very, very nice to look at, and pretty creative, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'll see if I can find spend some lucky to not only find a link, but get an image or two that goes to that link. We'll see. But I assume this is like a one shot from all you can tell, and not some ongoing.
I think I'm wondering if this was the one where they had multiple, like, issues. But not that there's a number on here, but maybe they did one, and then they just decided to do another one.
Well, they got Iron Friendship, the next one is Platinum Friendship, and maybe. Steel Friendship. All right, well, that seems like a good show. Kevin, you want to... are we still sending people out like we were last year?
I guess so. Or are we going to do it like that TV series that in that put COVID into their storyline, and then after a year, they just tell the viewers that, like, yeah, we're now moved on. The pandemic's over in this show. Like, it's a what if world where it stopped, and they just got tired of it. Like, there was no more stories left to tell. Are we doing that? I don't know.
I'm ready to leave it all behind.
I guess I could say Drock, Sinosit 2 needs that vaccine.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. 500's approaching.
The road to 500.
In the 26th century, mankind faces an epic struggle for survival. The forces of nature have spun wildly out of control. Mighty cities have crumbled, and the dinosaurs have returned to reclaim the earth. Savage land, one man stands alone, Jack Tenrek, defending humanity in a world gone mad, a world where only the strong survive, a world of Cadillacs and dinosaurs.